Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning again. I promise I didn't tell Braden and Ephraim what to say this morning, but man, did it fit perfectly into what we're going to be talking about. I love Senior Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays because it's such a reminder to each of us of what a new beginning has to offer. I love that in Jesus, we are able to be a new creation. And so for you seniors, I wonder if you've gotten the questions of what's next? Where are you going? What's your major going to be? Maybe what do you want your career to be? I remember at my open house in high school, my great grandma came up to me and she said, "Ashley, what is your 5-year plan?" And I kind of giggled and I said, "Well, I'm going to school, grandma. Like, I don't know other than that." And I looked back at her and I said, "What's your 5-year plan?" Now, asking a 90-year-old woman what her 5-year plan is dicey, okay? But she said to me so lovingly, she said, "Ashley, as long as there is breath in my lungs, I know that God has a plan and purpose for my life." Amen, right? And so I loved that response. But what a great reminder for all of us that we are in the middle of some kind of unknown, whether that's graduating, maybe you're newly engaged, you're planning your wedding, maybe you're talking about kids, maybe you're having a challenge with, are we going to have the family that we always thought that we would? Maybe you're loving your new job, maybe you're in a job that you don't know if you're really liking. Maybe you're retiring or you're becoming an empty nester or you're caring for parents that are aging. The truth is all of our details might be different, but the reality is the same, that we all have some kind of unknown that we're facing. And I think something important to remember is that one of the most important decisions we can make is not necessarily where we're going, but who we're going with. Today, we're wrapping up our series, Life to the Full, and we've been focusing in on this theme verse from John 10:10 that says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life I want to live, a life filled with joy and peace and following after who God has called me to be. And so this morning, we're going to read a story that I think really matters. But before we get there, I think it's important to recognize that throughout all of Scripture, God rarely works through isolated individuals, but more often we see him work through friendships, through families, through communities that continue to bring people back to him. In other words, God's design was never loneliness. We actually see from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, God tells us that it is not good for man to be alone, that he actually created us with community in mind. My husband coaches basketball. And I remember last year, before his season started, he started talking about the culture that he wanted to build for his team. And something that was really important to him was this phrase that we totally stole, and you probably saw it in the lobby this morning, but this idea that we are better together. They have it on their t-shirts, they talk about it in their huddle, but it's more than just what basketball is on the court. It's the way that he's hoping these young men will start to function in their everyday lives, realizing that they need each other. Because it's more than a sports principle or a basketball principle, it's a kingdom principle. And so let me ask you this question this morning. Who are your people? Who are your people? If you were to write down 4 of your closest friends, who would they be? I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your family, but who are those friends? Because maybe you've heard this before, but there's this idea of show me your friends and I will show you your future. You show me the people that you spend the most time with and I will show you the trajectory of your life. Just like Braden said in Proverbs, it says it this way. walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And so again, who are your people? Who are those people that you can call at 2 a.m, maybe that actually know the ins and outs of what's going on in your everyday life, your struggles, your dreams, what's actually happening in your family? Who are your people? If you had 4 of them, who would they be? Now, I don't know about you, and I won't make us raise our hands, but making friends as adults is really hard. It can be challenging, because when we're kids, we show up at the playground, we start playing soccer, or we sit by somebody in class, and immediately, they're our best friend. But as we get older, middle school, high school, college, joining the workforce, we get busy, we get distracted, we have kids maybe, we have new hobbies that we really enjoy. But friendship can be hard. And so the real question becomes, do the people around you pull you closer to the full life Jesus came to give? Today we're going to be in the book of Mark chapter 2. There's Bibles in the seat back in front of you if you'd like to join me there, or if you have the Bible app on your phone. If you don't have a Bible, the one in the seat back in front of you is yours. Please take it. But Mark chapter 2, we're going to be in verses 1 through 12 this morning. And it says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And now, when I start to read scripture, it's so easy to go from the beginning to the end, but forget that there is that middle part where humanity actually starts to happen. There's a struggle here. There's decisions upon decisions before the miracle and the healing. And so this morning, I'm going to ask if we can just sit in this for a second. Verse 3 says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Now, for most of us, a mat seems pretty insignificant, but to this man in particular, it represented his reality. This mat represented everything that he could not do, everything that he was limited by. Every morning he woke up on the mat. If he wanted to go somewhere, he needed somebody to carry him on his mat. He would lie down and go to sleep on his mat and wake up on his mat. His entire life revolved around it. And while we may not fully understand the frustration of his physical reality, we often know that a physical reality is not the only thing that he was facing. There was probably some psychological things that he was having to work through as well in his heart and his mind, the questions of, why me? Why am I going through this? Is this how this is always going to be? Is this how my story is always going to unfold? Watching people day after day living their life, traveling around. It's interesting that Mark never tells us this man's name. We know nothing about his personality, his hobbies, if he has an occupation, if he has a family. The only thing we know is his struggle. His struggle becomes the thing that people knew him by. This mat becomes his identity. And how often for us does our situation become what we're known by? Do our struggles, do our pain, how often is that how people would identify us? And that's what this man is carrying. That's what this man is feeling. More than just his physical restrictions, he is feeling the weight of his story. Now, these four men, they start to challenge us. And I think there's four things this morning that if we really want to live a life that's better together and a life to the full that Jesus calls us to and offers each and every one of us, the first thing that these four friends do is they notice. They noticed the man. I don't think you accidentally carry a grown man on a roof. It has to start somewhere. Yesterday, I was at a wedding, and my favorite part of weddings is the speeches. I know some people can't stand them. I love it. I love that it gives you a little bit more insight into the bride and groom and who they are. And so the best man stands up, and he's going to give his speech about the groom, who's his brother. And he talks about how his brother loves being outdoors. He's very adventurous. And he shares that this story is going to speak directly to his character. And so he starts to tell a story about how they were going whitewater rafting in Virginia. Him and his brother and his other brothers and friends, they put together this elite group that could handle the hardest route. They wanted to really challenge themselves. And so when they get there, they're kind of scoping out the guides of who looks the best, the most athletic, who's going to give us like the best ride down this river. And so they find a young guy, and they're excited. And then all of a sudden, and I'm going to preface like this guy did, if your name's Kevin in the room, nothing against any Kevins in here, okay? But this older gentleman named Kevin walks up. And if you've ever seen the movie Zootopia, I can only think that this is what those guys are seeing. Just this older guy that looks like he does not know what's going on, but he's getting in the boat. And so the groom goes up to him, introduces himself, says, "Hey man, I'm Merrick, nice to meet you, glad you're with us today." And all of the brothers and friends are immediately irritated. Like, why are you talking to Kevin? Like, Kevin's about to ruin our day. And so they go on the route. Kevin actually flips the boat at one point. They all fall out. They blamed Kevin. I don't know if that's true. But they get back after this ride, and they're about to leave, and the groom looks at his brothers and his friends, and he goes, "I have to go say goodbye to Kevin." And again, his brother's like, "Dude, like, why? Like, we just met this dude. Like, let's just go." But he walks back over to this man, and he says, "Kevin, it was so nice to have you in the boat today." And this older gentleman just began to weep. He had just lost his wife 3 weeks before. He had no family or friends around, and he was feeling extremely lonely and isolated. And he told this young man, "You are the first person who's had a conversation with me in 3 weeks." And what a good reminder, and how absolutely wonderful to speak to someone's character, that he noticed someone that God had put in his path, that he felt this prompting from the Holy Spirit, as he described it later when I asked him about it, that he needed to just say goodbye to someone. But these men, they noticed someone. My favorite verse in this story is that Jesus saw their faith. He didn't see their education. He didn't see the way that they networked. He didn't see their financial status. He saw the way that they loved this man. Now, I love this quote from Craig Rochelle. It says, "We impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses." So often we try to convince ourselves that we're too awkward, or it might be too weird, or maybe we're not confident enough. But when we actually start to connect with people, we recognize that they might be a lot like us. They might also feel awkward and not confident. They might have the same hurts and pain that we do. The second thing that we learn from these four friends is that they carried the burden together. We don't know how these guys knew this man on the mat. We don't know if they were his brothers, his friends, his cousin, or strangers that had compassion on him. But they saw him and knew that they could not let him struggle alone. Galatians 6:2 says this. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now just imagine what this would have looked like for a second. If we go back into the middle of the story, there's these four men, they pick up this mat, and they're walking through the street. Now I don't even want to carry my couch 7 feet with my husband, let alone carry a man through crowds of people and up on a roof. But they do, and they're carrying him. And I love this because these men understood something I think we desperately need to be reminded of. That sometimes carrying people's burdens, sometimes loving people, it's inconvenient. It can change our own timelines, our own plans. It costs you your energy. Sometimes it means carrying something that isn't yours simply because somebody that you love really needs help holding the weight. That's what community does. It steps in when life gets messy. It shows up at the funeral. It shows up in the hospital room. It sends the random text on the Tuesday just checking in on how you're doing. Galatians goes on to say, not only should we carry one another's burdens, it says each one should carry their own load. Now, a burden is something crushing. Something that would exhaust us, something that would cause us severe turmoil, or maybe we need to process with somebody. But I couldn't share this message today without bringing up this word, and it's the word boundaries. It has become a cultural buzzword, and before I get canceled, let me just say, I know that boundaries are important. We absolutely need healthy boundaries. But we also need to be very careful to discern with the Lord whether it is a healthy boundary or if we're just trying to not be inconvenienced. Because if we're honest, sometimes it's easier to say it's a boundary. It sounds better than I'm too busy or I don't want to deal with this. And so as I was searching my own heart to get ready for today, I came up with some things that I feel like God laid on my heart about what healthy community says and what healthy boundaries say. A healthy community says, I'm with you, but a healthy boundary says, I can't do this for you. A healthy community says, I'll carry the load, but a healthy boundary says, I can't carry it forever. A healthy community says, I'll walk with you through it, and a healthy boundary says, I can't take responsibility for choices that aren't mine. A healthy community says, I'll keep bringing you to Jesus, and a healthy boundary says, only Jesus can change what needs to be changed. A part of people being willing to carry each other's burdens is learning the difference, is finding those patterns. Is this person moving towards healing? Are they taking ownership? Are they taking next steps towards Jesus? Or are they expecting everyone else to carry what maybe they're not ready to address? This morning, who might God be asking you to carry? Who might you need to look at and say, they need me right now? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kid, maybe it's one of your friends. But maybe you need to ask the Lord, like, will you put someone on my mind that needs their mat carried this week? The third thing is they didn't quit. Can you imagine how tired they must have been and how frustrated they must have been when they get to this house and they realize that it's packed solid? There's no room for them to get in. And when they got there, they could have made the decision to just say, you know what? We'll come next time that Jesus is here. We'll try again another day. Can you imagine if they would have said that to their friends? But old houses, they would have been made of wood and some straw and mud or clay that was baked in the sun. And they almost always had some access to the roof, whether by a ladder or a staircase. And so these guys, they went to the side of the house and they began to climb. When they got to the top, it wasn't just some kind of tarp that they had to bring back. They had to decide to start digging. And I don't believe they had any power tools. So this would have been a messy, dirty situation. And I love that there's got to be people in the house that start to hear this. I live in a two-story home, and if my daughter's running around upstairs, it's chaos. So I can't even imagine what it would look like for a roof to be destroyed above my head. But Jesus, he doesn't ever tell them to stop. He doesn't say, hey, just come around. He sees what they're doing with their friend. As I was reading this story, I started to think of my sister, Kennedy. She played soccer at Grand Valley, and she was an incredible, incredible soccer player. She still is. She loves soccer. She trains hard. She pours into the people around her. She is an absolutely incredible leader. And so she led her team to 2 national championships at her time as at Grand Valley. She got extremely important goals at extremely crucial moments. And she was and still is a superstar. My sister is someone who sets goals for herself, and she reaches for the sky. She'd always write them down on this little calendar and start to cross them off. Her senior year, seniors, you know how important that senior year is. You want it to go a certain way. You have things that you want to happen, and that was her. Right before her senior season, she tore her ACL, and she had a decision to make. Am I going to be done, or am I going to keep going? And Kennedy decided that her team needed her more than just for her skill on the field, but that she had something to offer them. And so her entire senior year, she was still the captain of the team. She traveled on that charter bus all over the country, pouring into those girls that needed someone to see them. She learned so many lessons by talking to people that didn't get to play as often and being able to encourage them. I remember one day she called me and she said, "Ashley, this is getting really hard. It's really hard to keep encouraging people do something I would love to do, and they're not even enjoying it." But she relented, and she continued and continued to pour into her team. And I love that about her. And I love that about these 4 friends, that they did not quit. They did not stop. Because the truth is, we all have our own things going on. These 4 friends, they had their own lives, their own struggles, and if we all waited until we all had everything perfectly together before we decided to step into community, we would all be extremely lonely. We could all be missing out on an opportunity that God has for us. The 4th thing, and maybe the most important thing, is that these men brought this man to Jesus. Verse 5 says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" And if I'm honest, if I'm one of those 4 friends, I might be looking at Jesus like, "Okay, that's amazing, that's great, but we just carried him all this way, and do you not see that he can't even leave this mat? He's stuck to it. He can't go anywhere. Do you even see him? I love that you're forgiving him, but he needs more from you." But what Jesus understood was that this man needed something way more than just his physical needs met. His soul needed to be restored. And so he addresses his deepest need first. Only Jesus can know our deepest need. A few verses later, Jesus tells the man to get up, take his mat, and walk. And he does. And he walks out of that house. This might actually be my favorite part. Because the mat that once represented his struggle became evidence of what Jesus had done in his life. How many of us need to be reminded that something that once represented your struggle could be the very evidence of what Jesus wants to do, has done, will continue to do in your life? And so these friends, they knew that the goal wasn't just to get him to a better financial situation or to get him in a better home. They knew that he needed to get in the room with Jesus. And that's what a healthy biblical community does. When I look back over my own life, some of the people that have impacted me the most weren't the smartest people in the room, weren't the most talented people in the room. They were people that continued to show up and point me back to Jesus. And so I wonder what kind of people we could be if we lived that same way. If we asked ourselves these four questions. Who is God asking you to notice? Who is he asking you to help carry? Who is he asking you to not give up on? And who is he asking you to bring closer to Jesus? Before we leave today, I think there's really two groups of us sitting in this room. Maybe there's some of us that have some margin, that have some extra strength, that things feel like they're going really well right now. Maybe God's inviting you into noticing somebody, into being somebody that carries someone's mat. I wonder as a church if we changed our mindset. So often we get into these I will statements. I will be a good friend when I find good friends. I will be kind if they're kind to me. I will talk if they talk to me first. I will be real when I know they are being real. I will invite them if they invite me. I will include people when I feel included. If it feels like I probably shared this with students, I absolutely did. But what a good principle for us to remind ourselves with. So often we get into this mindset, these assumptions that if somebody else would just make the first step, then we can reciprocate. But what if? What if you invite others as you want to be invited? What if you included others as you want to be included? If you see others as you would want to be seen? If you forgive others the way you want them to forgive you? If you treated others the way you wanted to be treated? And if you talk to others as you would want to be talked to? How might that change your situation and have the potential to change somebody else's life? Now, the second group of us in this room might be people that need to be really honest with ourselves. That we might need to say, you know what? I need my mat to be carried right now. I'm really struggling and I really need people around me. And if we're honest, that can be the harder group to be in. It can be scary, especially if you've been in friendships or community before where you've been hurt. But I think today is the day to say, I'm gonna try again. Because a life to the full, a life that God invites us into, is one where we let people surround us. Because this man, he had to let them carry his mat. He had to let them bring him to Jesus. And so this morning, whether you need to pick up someone's mat or let somebody else pick yours up, my hope and prayer is that we would find and be reminded that we are better together. That God created us to have a community of people around us. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for so many reminders throughout Scripture that we are better together. God, this morning, as I think of those two groups of people in this room, I would just love to pray for anyone who feels called to pick up the mat. And if there's someone in this room this morning, I hope it's all of us, that says, you know what, I'm here. I want to tear off the roof for somebody. I want to bring somebody to the feet of Jesus. Would you just raise your hand this morning so I could pray for you? If that's the kind of person that you want to be, if you believe that we are better together, would we all be those kind of people? God, I pray for these people specifically that raised their hand this morning, that have a desire to love you and to demonstrate your love to everyone they come into contact with. And God, for the people who want their mats to be carried, if that's you, would you just open your hands on your lap? You don't have to raise your hands. But would that just be a step that you would be reminded that there's a God who sees you? In this church, we want to come alongside you. We don't have a connect card or talk about it every Sunday just as a checklist. It's because we truly believe that you belong here, that you belong to God, that there's a group of people ready to embrace you with open arms. God, I pray that as we go, we would be people that notice. We would be people that carry each other's burdens, that don't quit, and that always point each other back to you. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.